Yeah. Yes, tell us.
More than anything in the world, Ron.
Well, it's really quite simple. It's kind of like... Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking I'm just working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, make the sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight. Woo! Afternoon delight.
Do you know what love is? I do. It's CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, 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 it's that countdown. It is almost, but not quite International Women's Day yet. But, of course, listening to Sexy in Van City every day is International Women's Day and Men's Day and every feel-good day for yourself. And today, I'm very, very, very excited because I think sometimes when we try and celebrate, I think we forget to celebrate sometimes in terms of how amazing we truly are. And sometimes, even though there were a lot of books about it in the 1980s about being the superwoman, we were trying to be the best mom, the best wife, the best at work, and the best friend, everything, the best pack, everything. And sometimes it just isn't, it's overwhelming, it's a little scary, and we need to celebrate all the things that we're good at, and we don't have to be everything to everything. And I'm very, very excited because I've got a very special guest on tonight, the lovely, the talented, the wonderful Ms. Heather White. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And you are an amazing coach, and I had the privilege for YWIB, the Young Woman in Business. You were one of the keynote speakers, so after we finally got to meet each other off of Twitter...
Yes,
which is very good.
Yes,
it is, and you are one of the most inspiring, wonderful ladies that I've ever met. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I love that you work with so many amazing women and men that, in regards to finding what their inner superwoman, superman is, and may being able to still do it, like where they can actually have a balanced life. I guess is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, actually there's a gal here in town who I'm a huge fan of, Danielle Laporte. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but I think she has a good way of talking about balance, which is this idea that we're pursuing something that's almost unattainable, right? When we talk about balance sometimes, and maybe we're talking about semantics, but I appreciate what you're saying. You know, the idea is, can we live an authentic life? Can we live a life where we can pursue our passions wholeheartedly, do all the things that we want to do with our life, but still also honor the fact that we're human, that we need to take care of ourselves, that a foundation is super, super important. And then sometimes that means not doing all the things that we think or that we put expectations on ourselves that are unrealistic. And I'm all about... Perhaps, yes, finding that happy medium where you can be your best self at all times, because that's when you can really give the most to all your passions. That's the idea here, right?
Which is really key. All your passions, if you can just do it. And for people who aren't in that place, how do we get people to try and explore what their passions are?
Oh, great question. Well, I think there's lots of clues. I think, you know, you can really boil it right down to just energy. When do you get absolutely juiced about stuff, you know? And if you have to, trace back to your childhood, you know, what were the things that sometimes you might not have been allowed to do, right? You're sneaking late at night to read a certain book or listen to something or watch something. Or what was it that you were just naturally drawn to? again, when your energy rises, when you feel that expansion within mm-hmm. your heart, and it's that enthusiasm that you just can't seem to put a lid on, that's usually when you know you're going down the right track. You're on the right track of the things that are naturally inspiring you. Mm-hmm. And inspiration meaning in your spirit, like really channeling your inner soul, you know, which is that authentic part of yourself. So, you know, some simple things are to start to monitor your energy if you don't know, right? Also, what are you drawn to? What are you interested in? Are you limiting yourself in the way that you think, you know, in other words, oh, I have to pay the bills, that kind of thinking where mm-hmm. you might not give yourself permission to explore what you're really passionate about. So put that aside. What if you didn't have to work? What if bills weren't on the table? What if you had all the money in the world? What if all those practical needs were met? Then what would you do? And that's not necessarily an easy exercise.
No, I was going to say that could be a really challenging question for a lot of us.
Yeah. And hey, there's no rush, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think in the end, if we arrive at the end of our life and we know that we at least found it, we found that connection, we felt that authentic energy run through our body where our enthusiasm was spilling out and we were lit up, I think that's good. That's a great aspiration to have.
I think that would be a really amazing aspiration to have. It'd be wonderful. Vancouver is a really interesting town. I've had a lot of my friends, as we were chatting about earlier in the green room, just that there's so many amazingly, truly talented, beautiful, successful women. And yet, sometimes I hear that question all the time, why aren't there any men to date in this town? And I know it was really interesting because you and I were having this conversation the other day, and you had some really interesting things to say about that, which I thought was a really cool way to look at it.
Mm. Well, first thing I think of is you find what you believe is there.
Mm.
So if you have a belief that there's not enough men in this city for you to date, you're going to continue to attract circumstances that are going to validate that belief.
Listeners, did you hear that? Can you repeat that
sure,
one more time?
Sure, I can. And I know this
really
one well. I really know this one well, and this is true in all facets of life. But what you believe is what you're going to see. So if you believe that there is a lack of men in this town for all of you eligible bachelorettes, then you're going to attract circumstances that are going to validate that belief.
So how do we change that, especially if we're successful, we're beautiful, we're smart, funny, all those wonderful things, a really great friend, good family member?
Yeah, well, first of all, if you check your results. If you don't like the results that you have, then you can work back and know that you're carrying some kind of belief or holding on to some kind of mindset that's continuing to manifest those results. And so what do you think? What do you say? Do you talk to your girlfriends about how there's not, though they're like, oh my God, there's no guys in this city. You know, and it's funny, actually, earlier tonight I posted a blog called Your Words or Your Wand, Make Magic Accordingly.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not to exhaust the idea that we have to be just impeccable with our word, although that is one of the four agreements if you've read that book, which I strive to get there. I'm not there yet at all. I'm totally not perfect. But, you know, just think about what you're saying. Are you actually putting out there what it is that you want?
And if we're not, how do we start changing those things? Because first step, I guess, like anything, is to recognize that we're not getting what we want, recognizing those patterns. And how do you go, like, is it like going cold turkey where, like, just stop eating chocolate one day kind of thing?
Or no, I'm not much of a deprivation girl, okay. To be honest. Yeah, I liked slowly turning the cruise ship around. Yeah, I had a boating experience one time that taught me that lesson very, very well. Yeah, don't turn that wheel too quickly, because before you know it, you'll be going in a different direction, which is not necessarily where you want to go either. No, I think you're right. First step is awareness, right? What's up? What's not working? Also, and this is one of the most challenging questions as well for people, is what is it that you want? Ironically, there is a payoff to a certain degree to be able to sit around and have cosmos with your girlfriends and talk about how there's no eligible bachelors. That can be a fun conversation. And there's a payoff to, you know, and recognize the payoff, right? There's a lot of stuff that goes that pays off the fact that maybe that's the belief or mindset you're carrying around. So honor that and acknowledge it. Be aware of it. And then you can ask, what is it that you really want?
And when you ask that question, are we talking like a full-on list? Like, I know Oprah's done some articles about this kind of thing where, you know, like, he's got to make this amount per year. He's got to be smart. He's got to be funny. He's got black hair, blue-eyed. Like, how detailed do we need to go, I guess, is...
Well, you know, I think it's okay to, if you enjoy the process of visualization and imagining, then I think you want to chase that all the way through. However, I think you also want to keep in mind that let's go for an energy of flow here. Mm. You know, if we put too many restrictions or barriers around things, we're going to miss opportunities. And we don't want to make assumptions. That being said, I don't think it's bad to put a specific ask out there. And so then put the ask out in specific, but do not be attached to the end result, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense, actually, because I know I had the criteria list. I was single for a very long time after a severe breakup, and I almost missed my partner, and he's my best friend as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite lovely, but because I was so stuck on that list where he had to be exactly this. And it's funny because as I've gotten to know him more and more, as a relationship has continued to evolve, I've realized he is everything on the list. I just didn't recognize it at first sight.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think even more important, ask yourself, why do you want those things? You know, because so a certain income, it's not about the income. Maybe there's a question of security or safety, or there's desires around world travel, or, you know, again, just make sure you understand why you're craving certain things. You know, why is just such a powerful question, and we don't ask it enough.
It's funny because we start off asking that a lot when you're 2 or 3 years old, where it's why, and we drive our parents crazy with that question.
Yeah, and usually we don't get an answer, ironically, from parents.
That's very true.
God love them. I've had little ones in my life, not my own, but of course, when you're busy and you've got other responsibilities as an adult, sometimes that nagging question does get a pat answer.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that that is such a powerful question.
Wow.
In all facets. I mean, as you know, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and professional women. And that's a good question for why you're in business, why you're launching a certain product, why do you charge a certain amount or not charge a certain amount, or, you know, why it just has so much power in the question.
And if the answers change all the time, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or
oh,
is it
I
just
think it's
discovery?
Fine. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in an ever-changing and evolving universe, and we're ever-changing and evolving as beings. So, of course, the answers to your questions, I think it's only natural that they'll change. You know, in fact, I would say answers to the questions, you know, what do I want and why do I want them, that made me exorbitantly happy in 2007 were the same things that made me just as unhappy in 2011.
That's true, because we continue to evolve every day.
We do, hopefully.
That's your point, too.
Yes, yeah.
So until we let go of some of those things in the past that keep us just kind of rooted to... Yeah, it's almost, I guess, like that weird expression. Basically, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Yeah, and I think if you get really good at the process of getting clear about, yeah, what do I want and why do I want it, and putting it out there, and then going about keeping your energy high and keeping your vibe high, because that's really how you come into alignment. I'm sorry to sound new age, but I really believe in this. If you put out a vibe of which is positive and high energy and whatever, and I'm not talking about being perfect, and I'm not talking about every day, and of course we have down days, that's contrast, that's life, and life shows us the contrast. But I'm just saying, from a general standpoint, if you can design your life in such a way that you feel for the majority of the time enthusiastic, authentically, you know, really good energy, high energy, you're going to attract all kinds of amazing opportunities, both in love and otherwise. So many so that you're probably going to have to make some tough decisions at some point, because there's going to be too many good opportunities showing up at your door.
I like that. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
We interrupt your FemCon for a moment to bring you this public service announcement. March 8th is International Women's Day, so keep it tuned to CITR 101.9 on the FM dial or online at CITR.ca for 24 hours of Women's Day programming. And now, back to the music.
Right.
Zeitgeist Day, or C-Day for short, is an annual global event whose goal is to increase public awareness of the Zeitgeist movement and to educate the public on solutions to the environmental and social global concerns that we face today. March 10th, Z-Day comes to the Vogue Theatre in Vancouver with a host of international speakers. Doors are at 11 a.m. and the event will go until 6 p.m. Tickets are available at thevoguetheatre.com. And for more information, search for the Vancouver Z-Day 2012 official event on Facebook or visit zeitgeistvancouver.com.
Thunderstorm.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
And we're back in Sexy and Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we are chatting about attracting really awesome stuff in your life. And I've got the wonderful, the talented, the sexy Heather White. So if you've ever had the chance to meet this lady, she's truly amazing. And before the break, we were just chatting about the importance of asking why. And it's a really key thing. And it's interesting that we almost train our children not to do it. So we stop asking it at a very early age. And as an adult coming back, that's kind of cool. It's almost like visiting your inner child too and giving yourself that opportunity, permission to play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I love that. Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's good to know why. Why do you want that, right?
It's true.
I think also because what's exciting is that sometimes there's other ways to get what we want.
Mm.
And so if we know why we want what we want, then all of a sudden other avenues might open up. It just kind of expands your energy.
That's true. And sometimes we do have those roadmaps that are kind of laid out for us, like Cinderella, where you're supposed to meet the prince and go to move into the palace and live happily ever after. And sometimes we forget about the fact that happily ever after actually is a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can be challenging, but we stop asking those questions. Mm. So we think where it's about this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to fall in love. We're supposed to get married, etc. And sometimes I think it's almost the Bridget Jones syndrome where it's like, oh gosh, we need to put pressure. We need to do this. What's wrong with me? Why can't I find it? Why is my friend, you know, falling in love and having kids now, etc.? Why is this person, you know, having a really great career and just not, you know, taking it, rooting it into ourselves?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and the thing about that is that energy, just describing that, everything you just said, right, it becomes that energy that's very restrictive.
Mm.
There's no flow, right? It's all of a sudden starts to really, every door starts being closed and you're just focused on this singular area and you're just, you know, and it starts to become all consuming. And the thing is, there's so much to life, there's so much to learn, and it really is, even though being in a relationship is a really beautiful thing, in the end, everything about your relationship is still going to reflect to you, you know? I don't know if you know Lisa Nichols, but I've seen her speak before, and she's really funny, and she says something like, no matter where you're going, you're coming along with you, so you better get to know who the heck you're bringing. And I think that's so valid, and especially in the context of relationships. And speaking of you know, expectations and rules, you know, I think that is, we were talking earlier about how do you go about sort of finding your way here. And I think that would be a really good question, is ask yourself, whose rules are you following?
That is a really good one. So whether or not it's your parents, whether it's yourself, or it's your older sister or brother that you...
Society, expectations, media, you know, just get really clear about who's navigating the course here.
And sometimes that takes a little bit to kind of sift through all that. So if somebody was booking you for coaching, say, because I think I love coaching and I think it's so important, you're an awesome coach. So what are some of the steps that you'd go through with somebody if they were trying to figure out and just get clarity?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that's, I ask a lot about what people want and why they want it. I want to understand, you know, what are they done with, is a great question.
Mm.
And it wasn't my question, actually. It was a question that was originally posed to me when I was studying under a woman in New York named Amy Oscar. And she asked the question, what are you done with? And it's so powerful. powerful, and I ask my clients that question because that tells you a lot. It's the stuff that's ready to go. And sometimes when we're evolving, mm-hmm. right, we're moving forward in life, that requires letting go of things that no longer fit. So when you do that, you know, just even energetically, you can visualize just letting stuff go, decluttering. We all know that feeling when you just sort of let stuff go that's sort of been taking up space but doesn't really have a purpose anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates this lightness in your energy. It creates an ease for you to then take the next step and move forward. So I'm always curious about what do we need to ditch? What needs to go? And that's a very sensitive area for people. I'm there to walk the path with my client, because that is not always easy, and that can involve all kinds of things. I mean, last year I left a business partnership, for an example, after a 4-year great run. You know, we had a great run together, but it was just time that it was done. And it was a really, really difficult time for me. And I would never have been able to navigate that without having the support that I had by way of my coach at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody was wrong and nobody was right. Again, it was just time to go. But I don't know if it's, I don't know if that's just me. And so therefore I attract clients like that too. You know, there's loyalty mm-hmm. concerns there for people. They want to really honor the other person. It gets to the point where clearly it's time for things to change. But that actual conversation carries a lot of, you know, fear for people. You know, fear is that false expectations assumed real. And I can tell you, I projected that conversation with my business partner all kinds of different ways. And when we ended up having it, he was like, high five, awesome, I'm so pumped for you, I'm excited to see what you're going to do next, and I support you 100%.
Wow.
You know, so That's the first thing is, what do we need to, what needs to go? What are we going to let go of? And then we start looking at, what do we want to create? Mm-hmm. What is the design we want to create? And I'm big on energy. I'm really big on what's actually making people come alive, and then helping them figure out how to make sure we still take responsibility and get the other things done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about being frivolous and just ignoring the other responsibilities, but there's solutions for those things.
Yeah.
You know, same with me. And I think I was telling you about my assistant. Again, when I put that piece in place, you know, yes, it was in my business, but I mean, this absolutely changed my life. It started off with an exercise of, what am I done with? What am I done with? What is taxing my energy? Where do I lose energy? And made a list of those things. And, you know, through a couple of quick conversations with my coach, it was like, hey, I wonder if somebody else would do this. And the irony is that, especially when it's things you don't really like doing,
mm-hmm.
or that drain your energy, you make a false assumption that other people don't like doing it either. So it becomes difficult for you to want to outsource those things sometimes, because you just assume, well, if I don't like doing it, other people don't like doing it either. But here is the myth. In that's not true. Actually, there's people out there that love, their authentic passion is to do the things that you don't like doing. And that's just the beauty in working collaboratively. And that's such a feminine energy, to work collaboratively. Speaking of International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And so sometimes you learn the hard way, right?
Very much so. And it's interesting that you put in that context. That's really cool. Like, just in regards to about the assistant, etc., and about different people having different gifts, where when they come together, each person gets to shine. And I'm going to very badly paraphrase Marianne Williamson or Nelson Mandela, who made it popular. But who are we to be gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Who are we not to be? By letting our own light shine, we inspire others to do the same. And so by doing that, being able to let go of what are we done with, we can look and see, what are we open to?
Yes, absolutely. And there's space for it suddenly, right?
And not to feel bad, because you're giving somebody else a chance to shine.
Yes, exactly. Very nicely said.
Thank you. So in regards to relationships, if they are going forward, like in regards to you're busy, 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 and this is something I hear a lot from especially female entrepreneurs sometimes, where really, really, really busy, and I just don't have time for a relationship, but I really want one. And then I listen to their schedules, and it's like, wow, I can't imagine how you'd fit that in.
Interesting. Well, the first thing I would say is, if you're saying I don't have time, you're not going to have time.
Of course, because you're manifesting.
Yeah, right away, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying, I don't have time. And so why would, you know, and again, I hate to sound new age, but as I said, I really believe in this. Why would the universe or why would anything come to you when you're just saying, I don't have any time for that? you know, manifest destiny. You don't have any time for it, so we're not going to try to force something in that you don't have time to do, right? So the first thing is to create time and space. And so again, going back to the question around, you know, you want a relationship. Why do you want a relationship? Let's say, for example, you want, you know, companionship, or you want to enjoy, you know, nice meals out, or you want to check out new restaurants or whatever. Again, don't limit yourself from having those experiences just because you're not in a relationship today. Mm. You want to create those experiences for yourself today. And guess what? If that's the experiences you want and you put yourself in those scenarios, you're probably going to meet somebody that also likes those kinds of things. So, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You want to create the space and time for what it is that you really want. Go and do those things anyways. Or, you know, I mean, and people will say, well, I don't want to go alone. And I get that. But even if just clearing the space on your calendar, right? I used to study under Bob Proctor, who, you know, is an old personal development guru. And he used to tell people, you know, if you really want somebody in your life, go and clear out half your closet and start acting as if they're already in your life. You know, if you sleep, take up the whole bed, maybe just try, you know, sleep on the one side of the bed or whatever. Like, just start acting as if whatever it is that you're desiring or that you're wanting in your life is already there. And see if that makes a difference. And I've heard a lot of amazing, miraculous success stories just from those little shifts in energy, because you're creating space to allow and to receive what it is that you're wanting.
I think that's a beautiful thing about creating space, because if there is no space for things, like you said, there's nowhere for it to go.
No, it's true. And why if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, you're going to need some time. Mm-hmm. So schedule that time, you know, as open as it is, and go do the things that give you the experiences you want. Again, right? If it's fun, if it's joy, if it's nurture, if it's entertainment, like, what is it that relationship mm-hmm. experience is going to give you in your mind? And how can you start creating those experiences for yourself today, so you're not deferring your life to some future point in time, right, that may or may not come to fruition the way you want it to. Start living your life the way you want to live it today. Yes, absolutely.
So with that, how, and in regards to that, starts with, again, letting go of stuff. What are you done with? And is there times you're working with clients and you can see what they're done with, but they're not ready to see it yet, where they can't quite see it? And how do you... I guess it depends on per client, but is there certain tools that
I'm pretty
use?
Blunt.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think if somebody's paying me to tell them and advise them and to help them navigate the course, then I'm absolutely going to speak up, because of course I've done the diligence of creating a safe and confidential environment, first of all, which is the most important thing. I mean, for human beings, if they don't feel safe, they will not share what's really going on.
Yeah.
So the first thing in that case, if you are ready to make some changes, is you need to create a safe place for yourself. Absolutely, I believe in coaching. I've had a coach for the last 5 years. And before that, as I said, I studied under Bob Proctor in a coaching capacity, but it was in a larger group, a mastermind group. And absolutely, because they can see things you can't see. They can be objective. They have your best interests at heart, but they're not attached, nor are they emotionally or even practically affected by the choices you make in your life. So they don't have to hold back, and they don't have to worry about what's actually going to happen if you do make those decisions and make changes, right? That's why it's tough sometimes to talk to family, even if you are in a relationship and you are looking to make some changes, especially women. The thing about guys is that they're hardwired to problem solve. So if you go to a guy with a problem, even if he doesn't say that in the moment, he's instantly going into problem solving mode, and he's hardwired to figure out how he's going to figure out a solution for you, right? And so that's not even what we want half the time. We just wanted to vent.
Yeah.
We didn't want problem solving. We just wanted somebody to hear us out, right? So those are things for your girlfriends in that case. Or get yourself somebody objective that can help you dump all the suitcase belongings out on the table. Sort through, realize you're off to actually a tropical destination, so your parka is not necessary, so you can get that rid of that right now.
Love it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm being silly, because sometimes this is really serious, and it is serious, but we got to have fun. Absolutely got to have fun with life. I don't know if I even answered your question. Now I'm I'm rambling. I'm loving this. I love this environment. This is fun. Yeah.
And it. And my question was, and you're quite frank, where it was just like,
oh yeah, I would be blunt. Yes,
you would be blunt. Because that's what people are paying you.
Yeah,
for when
absolutely.
You're working with
yeah,
the coach.
And I come from love. You know, again, it's never the words that you say that people react to. It's the energy behind your words.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not coming from a place of judgment when I bring stuff up to look at on the surface for a client. I'm coming from a place of true love and compassion for them and their best interests. So I think that also helps.
It does. Well, like you said, it's creating that safe space. And people need that, even if you look at the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where after your basics, like your food, air, and water, you need safe space. Then after that is sexuality. And then from there, needing to be treated with dignity and respect and loved. And through that, this self-actualization.
Beautiful.
So if you don't
yeah.
have that, it's and safe space is absolutely integral
yes.
to moving forward.
Very true. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, what have you got planned for International Women's Day for tomorrow?
You know, tomorrow, ironically, even though it's International Women's Day, is my brother's birthday. So the first thing I'll be doing is phoning him up. He's out in Saskatchewan and wishing him a happy birthday. I love honoring specific days for sure for me. It's International Women's Day every day. It's International mm-hmm. Humanity Day every day for me. You know, I think I live my life in a certain way, and that's the way I live it. And I come from a place of integrity, and I have huge, huge compassion for humanity. I'm trying to think what I have on tomorrow. Oh, I'm doing a nice self-nurturing activity. I'll be getting my hair done.
Nice.
Yes. So there you go. So I'll be honoring myself in that way. And, you know, I know we wanted, that's the idea here in terms of International Women's Day that I wanted to make sure to talk a little bit about is that when you take care of yourself, which is so difficult for so many women to do, you do get to bring your best self to the table. And that's what we, you know, that's the important thing. Because then you get to give from a place of the cup runneth over. Sorry for the analogy, but...
But
you
it's
know,
true.
Yeah.
If you don't take care of yourself, there's nothing to give.
No. And so, and I know I have appointments with my female clients in the afternoon, so that'll be that. That'll be International Women's Day.
That'd be really cool. And with the full moon.
Yeah. Are you feeling that? Are you guys feeling that out there? It's pretty incredible in Vancouver if you have a chance to take a boo outside tonight.
It's a pretty amazing sight, definitely. And I can't believe it's tomorrow, too.
I know.
It's very
yeah,
exciting.
It's beautiful. And both Mars and Jupiter are also in view tonight.
And it was very exciting that you pointed that out to
yes.
me because I would have never known.
Yes.
So I thought that was
yeah.
really cool.
I owe that to actually to my other half. He's big on the app. He's got the solar app and he can pick out all the planets. Yeah. So that's helpful. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It's true, actually. They're like miracles, essentially. So
absolutely.
Which is pretty awesome. We are going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back, and let's see if I can find the right ad this time. It's one of my... very strange things.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a non-profit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Yeah.
Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips.
And we're back at Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. So if you're just joining me right now, I've got the lovely, the wonderful, the fantastic Heather White on the show. And we've been chatting about A lot of different things about embracing and basically being the very best you. And if you were listening just at the, when we were just wrapped up before the commercial break, we were just chatting about taking care of yourself. And for hopefully for International Women's Day, that both men and women take care of yourself, do something for you. Because if you take care of you, you have way more to give and to take care of everybody else. As much as we try and nurture and take care of everybody, it's got to start with right here.
Absolutely, yes, totally. And it's such a struggle for so many people, especially for women. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe I'm biased because I work with so many women, but I do have male clients, and they have a lot of the same struggles when it comes to that. Again, I don't know if that's because I attract a certain kind of client that's, you know, highly, highly responsible. Those are my clients. They're uber, uber responsible. And so helping them balance responsibility with nurture, you know, or where they need to release themselves from being responsible for things that they're not responsible for.
And that's a big one. So how do people go about it, going back to the basics where it's like, what are you done with?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, there's lots of questions, you know, there's lots of questions in coaching, because what shows up is your reaction. Your reaction gives you all the information that you need in life. Your reaction to everything is where the clues lie.
So it's very cognitive then.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's usually by that point it's emotional, right? You're having an emotional reaction to things that are happening, but that the louder the reaction you're having, the more ready you are to deal with it, or the more important it is. You know, it'll just come right to the surface. I always tell my clients there's no to-do list in terms of working with me, because life is your to-do list. I mean, whatever is ready to be looked at that day is what's going to come right up to the surface once you've created that safe space for yourself. So even, you know, even the clients will have like an agenda planned out in their mind of things they wanted to talk about. But if something else was supposed to come up that day, something will shift on their day, something will happen, something will call, and they'll have a reaction to it. And then that will end up being the premise for the conversation. And that will give them whatever the lesson of learning is at that point. And then there we go. It's a nice, simple process. It's not easy, but it's pretty simple.
It sounds pretty powerful stuff.
It is. It absolutely is. And I want, you know, my dream is for people to embrace the idea of self-love and self-care, because that is what makes amazing human beings. And amazing human beings plus amazing human beings creates amazing ideas, amazing change, an amazing world, you know. And I learned that the hard way. I mean, I was the poster child for all things to all people, uber responsible. When I worked in corporate sales, I mean, we wore the 80-hour work week like a badge of honor. You know, and that was just, that's just part of the environment, you know, and not everybody was like that. That was me, you know. I prided myself on working harder than anybody else. And that, you know, that's partly as well, that competitive nature will come out in certain environments for me. And and so I took the long way around to the realization. And the irony was that once I actually started taking care of myself, nothing, all the other stuff that I was taking responsibility for before, when I started releasing myself, nothing, no, everybody's okay, you know, nobody. And it was mostly me. It was beliefs I held on to that I had to be the one to do all that stuff. And when you let go of that stuff, you realize, okay, first of all, everything's cool. Everybody's okay. And then you start feeling better.
Wow.
You make better decisions when you're coming from a place of grounded self-care. You just simply do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I again, I'm not perfect, and that's the other cool thing about working in this field, is that it shows you, you know, your stuff comes to the, you know, we're as coaches, we're certainly not immune to this stuff. But it's so important to me that of course I'm in this world where this is what we focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as soon as my foundation slips, I start making terrible decisions. You know, before I know it, I've had grilled cheese sandwiches and frescas for dinner for three nights in a row, whatever, you know. And the thing is that it's not then time to start judging yourself, because that's like a double negative, I call them, right? First of all, you're doing all the things you know are not keeping you well, and then you start beating yourself up for not doing the right? And so that doesn't work at all. You just have to recognize it, take a deep breath, figure out where did you slip? you know, and start to put the pieces back in place again. Because when you have proper rest, proper nutrition, self-care, self-love, some nurture time for yourself, and it doesn't have to be exorbitant. Mm-hmm. It just means honoring yourself in those ways. And then all of a sudden, you're back.
I remember you mentioning about just even taking a little bit of time, because that's one of the things I hear from some of our listeners, that especially if they're new parents, where they've got a child where it's like, I just don't have time. I don't have time for my relationship. I don't have time. I don't have time. And I hear that a lot. And it starts with they don't even, when it actually gets down to the crux, they haven't even made time for themselves. And even though the topic always comes up, we just don't have time for sex, we don't have time to go for a date night, etc., because it's all about the child now.
Yeah, and again, this is what I say to people. What are you teaching your children when you do that? I have to say, and I don't have children at home myself, so I can understand to a certain degree, but I'm not there. And so I want to put that out there, because I don't want to dishonor what those parents are going through, and especially moms who are breastfeeding and all. I mean, there's just, it's a lot. I get it. But again, you want to take a couple of baby steps. I mean, if you're saying you have no time, you're never going to have time. The other thing is that it's so vitally important that you ask for help. And this is an area where people, I think, do not reach out and ask for help, because it requires you to be vulnerable. Now, vulnerability, there's a great TED Talk by Brené Brown. I'm not sure if you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, it is a must see. I won't even tell you anything more about it, other than she is a scientist and she goes on to showcase what it means to have connection, and it begins at the point of vulnerability. That's where real connection starts. And so to ask for help means you have to be vulnerable, because it means you have to say, to some degree, I'm not okay. I need some help. Right? And the beautiful part of that is, once you actually say those words and you get yourself some support, there's going to be deep connection there, and it's going to be easier for you to ask for help again next time. Yes, sure, I think it has to be a safe person, but get some help, you know, and also educate the people in your life that need to be educated about what you need. If you have a spouse, you know, and things have been a certain way for a certain period of time, and you know you want to give yourself a little bit more self-care, a little more nurture, and, you know, you figure out that even half an hour in the morning would be exactly what you needed. From 7 to 7:30, if you could just have that time, you know, to take a shower and do your hair, whatever it is that you know is going to set you up to have a great day. You need to then let them know and educate them. Don't just expect them to know that you're making this change, right? Because God love them, but they don't read minds.
No, and that's one thing I think all of us need to realize, that people don't read minds.
No, they don't. And just saying, hey, you know what? I've been giving things some thought, and this is what I'd like to try. You know, can you help me out from 7 to 7:30? Can it be on you? No matter what happens, no matter what kid comes to that door, from 7 to 7:30, it's on you. And of course, you have to ask permission. I mean, again, there's got to be, it can't just be a blanket expectation. But I would say, for most of the conversations I've had with clients, when they actually just ask the question and educate whoever needs to know about the changes that are going to take place, almost everybody is on board. They want you to be your best self.
They do. And I think that's the other thing you brought up, was communication. And we can't, A, expect them to know what's going on, but B, as well, just coming up with what is the right language to actually, and right time to have those conversations,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, ask permission to have the conversation first. Make sure, the most important thing as well with guys is, make sure they know you're going to have a conversation about something that you really want to communicate with them. Like, really get, you know, I need to talk to you about XYZ, is now a good time? You know, this is a conversation you want to have their total buy-in around.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big decision for you. It's a big change. And the other thing is, as I said earlier, like, don't show up with the problem. Don't show up and say, oh my God, I'm so exhausted, I need some help, blah, blah, blah. Show up and say, listen, you know what? I've been giving a lot of thought. I want to take a little bit better care of myself. I've figured out that a half an hour of alone time in the morning is what I need, or whatever it is that you need. And then ask for what you specifically need you know, for them to help you with. That's going to make it a lot easier for everybody. These gray areas of I need help, no matter who you're asking, you know, sometimes then you get help you don't want, right? Because people don't know. And before you know it, they're doing things. You're like, I totally didn't want you to do that. Actually, I'm a vegetarian and they've just delivered a meat lasagna. It's like, I asked for it, right? So be specific, be clear, ask for what you really want, what you really need. Because that'll make it a lot easier for people to honor you in that way.
So in other words, stop worrying about hurting someone's feelings. You can ask in a respectful way that's respectful
Absolutely.
To yourself.
And remember, as well as somebody else's person. Feelings is their responsibility, not yours.
I think that's the big one that we all forget. Well, I know I'm guilty of it a lot.
Yeah, totally. So. We all are, right? But remember that. I mean, just asking somebody, if they have an adverse reaction to your ask, that's okay, because think of your intention. If your intention was simply to ask for some help and something went awry and they've had a bad reaction, it is what it is. They have to then take responsibility for their emotions and their feelings and process it in their way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you went in with pure and good intentions, that's all you can do in communication.
And I think that's something that we all need to think about.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to what we talked to the Bill at the beginning. What do you really want and why? More importantly, why do you need this, right? And the reason why you need self-care and self-nurture and self-love is because you deserve it. You deserve to be the best you can be. And nobody can be their best self if they're not well taken care of, right? It's just impossible.
And I love the fact you're saying that. And I hope listeners out there that you actually are taking care of yourself. And you do make every day International Humanitarian Day, let's just say it. Even though I'm proud that I'm a woman, I'm glad that we've got truly amazing women. I've got one in this booth with me right now that I'm having this wonderful conversation with. But just that you take that time to take care of yourself, because it's absolutely key. We're going to take a really, really quick short break, and we will be back in just one moment. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Come enjoy British Columbia's beautiful wilderness with the UBC Varsity Outdoors Club. Try your hand at hiking, backcountry skiing, rock climbing, kayaking, and much more. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, we have trips happening every week, usually at no cost. I'm just living my dream. Check us out online at ubc-voc.com. For everybody who should live it, go and get it, you should live it.
UBC Bookstore is having a student appreciation sale March 14th, their way of saying thanks for all your support this past academic year. There will be snacks, DJs, and karaoke. Oh yeah, and discounts too. 25% off giftware, clothing, and stationery, 10% off computer accessories, and 20% off all general books. Visit the main store from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. or the solder store from 10 to 5. UBC Bookstore, where your purchases support your UBC campus. CITR is proud to present Cab Calloway, Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, and guests live at the Norm Theater. Okay, maybe not live. But nonetheless, it's a Blues Brothers beer garden, and it's going down March 16th in the Norm Theater in the Sub. Join Jake and Elwood Blues on their mission from God March 16th with CITR DJ spinning and cheap beer flowing.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
And we're back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're listening in, I've got the wonderful, the fabulous, the lovely Heather White in here. And we've been chatting about basically dating in Vancouver. Dating yourself, I think, is probably the big crux of it. And not having to be Superman, Superwoman, but just being you, whatever that is. And just embracing all those wonderful super things about you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, be the real you.
I think it's key.
Yes. So we've got a comment. We got one at message on Twitter, and on I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but Dawn Dawn is unhappy with me, I think. So this is perfect. I think this is a great example because as I just saying to Caroline, so Dawn's written in, this is his tweet. He says, give me a break. Now, again, I'm reading tone into this. This is actually interesting as well because with our new communication tools like email and Twitter and Facebook, etc., you can't convey tone. So that's also interesting. But he's written, give me a break, exclamation point. Guys are hardwired to problem solve, question mark, and fear is false expectations appearing real. And then he wrote, sexist. So, of course, I don't know exactly what he meant, but this is cool because what I know is that anything that I said, my intention was certainly not to be sexist. So, you know, that's just an example. Like, everybody is entitled to their opinion and to their reaction and to whatever they think, you know. This is my opinion from experience and from reading and from studying and a degree in psych and a variety of other things that I'm drawing all those things and making some comments. And Don is very right to have his own opinions and disagree with me. And so I just think it's cool, right? Because he's saying sexist, that's his opinion. My intention is not sexist, and therefore I'm okay with it. I'm okay with his tweet. So we thought that was cool, that just to showcase a real life example.
And Dawn does listen to the show regularly. I used to work with him, actually.
Okay.
Well, many moons ago.
Yeah.
And just in regards to, I can honestly say, Heather is not sexist. And
no, I'm not.
But
call in, Dawn. Call in if you're listening. We want to chat with you.
604-87... Oh, my goodness. What is the number here?
Oh, shoot. I put Caroline on the spot.
Actually,
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I can't. It's been a while. 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And it has been a really long time. But if anybody would like to call in, that would be great to have some comments. Don usually sometimes will tweet during the show and has some really neat things to say
as
well.
Yeah, no. Yeah, fair enough. But no sexism intended there, Don. So, but I appreciate your comment and appreciate your opinion, too.
And I do want to highlight, too, just in regards to it, you are a wonderful humanitarian. And as well as that, actually, Dr. John Gray, with his book, Venus on Fires, Mars on Ice, he actually does mention in regards to with problem solving that it actually increases men's testosterone, actually, in terms of creating attraction in relationships, where in terms of that, so it actually can be really helpful.
Yeah. And but like I said, I know there's always more than one side to things, right?
That's
so
true.
It's just been my experience again is that if you can get to the other side of the venting part of it and get to the end result, then it's a lot easier for guys to process where you're coming from and understand this is not intended to be sexist either. This is actually, I learned this through, I think, Barbara Coloroso originally when I studied family studies and psych at UBC here. And she described men's brains versus women's brains, and she had an interesting little analogy. So she said men's brains are like waffles, like everything goes in a box. Things are very clear and it's just one thing at a time. And women's brains are like spaghetti, and that's why we can go from this to that and whatever, and you see a bunch of girls having a conversation, they can talk about 12 different things all in the same conversation, know exactly what everybody else is talking about, come to the same conclusions, wrap up at the same time, right? Whereas guys, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but that's also been my experience, guys like things to be a little bit more black and white and a little bit more focused to approach to things. So anywho,
if we go back into history, I think it's very much as well in terms if you look at the caveman days as well, in terms of the way we've been socialized, where men would go out to hunt. They'd be silent for very long periods of time, so they having to be very patient and quiet so that they could kill the animal and bring the game home to take care of the family. And meanwhile, women, they'd gather together, they'd be gathering, they would be basically managing with the children, etc., and have wanted to be a little bit louder because of the fact they wanted to keep the wild animals away. So just even the way we're socialized
is different.
In terms of that. So I can actually see, it's neat that the brain would be like that.
Yeah, totally. There's so many things. And Don, God love him, he's tweeted us again.
Okay.
And he's saying, thanks for sharing your insight. I've been single for too long and dating in Vancouver is tough enough. Well, Don, what I can say is I'm sorry if I made that any harder on you, but I don't see it as a negative. I actually see it as a real positive, to be honest, that guys are like that. And like I said, it's just important as women to honor the fact that you operate in a certain way. And hey, that's a generalization. So if you are in a relationship or you get in a relationship, I think it'd be even more vitally important would be to get to know your spouse, your mate, get to know their natural way of operating so that you can honor the way that they operate and not have expectations on them that are harder for them. Can I give you a quick example?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay, so I've been dating my guy for 11 years in June, and when we first got together, I used to make different meals and whatnot, and then I would put them all out and put it on a plate and put it in front of him, and he'd give me this kind of awkward look, and he'd pick around at stuff and be very uncomfortable. And even one time, he liked a certain kind of sandwich from Subway, and I brought a different kind that was totally not to his liking, and he threw it away.
Really?
Yeah, he threw it away, and I was like horrified because I was thinking, oh my God, what do you mean? And I learned over the years that one of the most important things for him is to have freedom. To have freedom. So anytime that I'm trying to force something on him, it's never going to work. And so now, and I mean, this is, I learned this early on, actually working with my coach. Now what I do if I make something, and think he's evolved and changed in so many ways as well. But now you make something and you leave it out. And you just let them know what it is and what's in it. And you don't have an expectation, and it's not a judgment towards you if they don't like it. Like, it's not that I'm a bad cook or anything like that. Some things just don't agree with certain people, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But in the early days, I had such high expectations of myself, and then that, you know, of what he would do. And then when they didn't meet those expectations, I was so offended. So that's just a simple example of getting to know your partner and then honoring the way they are. You know,
and I think that's really key. There's a really great book called The Five Love Languages, and my listeners have probably heard me talk about Dr. Gary Chapman's work a million and one times. And sometimes it's because of what is their language, what works for them, and as you said, getting to know them really well. Whereas my partner is, yeah, he just, that's one of the acts of service is a really big, big one for him. I didn't cook whatsoever. Everybody who's listening out there who knows me really well, I still laughs about the fact that I can actually cook a little bit now. But that was a really big thing, learning how to cook. And I found I actually enjoyed it. I actually enjoy it, period. And I do that, and I actually write him little love letters every day.
Nice.
But it wasn't something that I've done for anybody else that I've dated. And it's been interesting, but by learning what his language is and exploring how can I best serve that, it's been really neat where it's made me a better me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It's kind of a cool thing where it's just like what makes you a better you, and even within your relationships, finding out what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
And being able to honor someone based on their value systems.
Absolutely. Very cool. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for saying hi, and appreciate your comments, and good luck with your relationship search there. I'm going to send out positive love vibes for you.
I will too. I may need to introduce you to a few people, Dawn, if you want to. But that's a whole other
conversation.
Oh, there you go. Because obviously I know some truly amazing women because of Beauty Night, and you're a pretty awesome guy. So I'll just put that out there.
All right. Yay, Dawn.
Yay.
Good vibes coming your way.
Totally. And on that note, with that beautiful moon out there, let's get some good vibes going for everybody. So I think it's a beautiful space. We're on the brink, an hour away from International Women's Day. So I'm going to encourage everybody take care of yourself tomorrow, as well as that. Guys, honor all the women in your life and just love them. A friend of mine this morning at a networking group was joking that, and he wasn't completely joking, just guys, honor all the women in your life, whether it's your mothers, daughters, girlfriends, loved ones, whatever, just honor and take that time to do that. And he was joking that if you do that now, the rest of your year will go really well. So it's good karma.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
So for people who would love to find you, because you do a lot of speaking in town, on Twitter, they can follow you at Heather2020. And as well as that, as a coach, if they want to find out if
You can check out my website, Heather White, just like the color.ca is the best place to find me. And yes, I am also on Twitter at Heather2020. So you can find me there as well.
That's perfect. And what's next for you?
What's next for me? Like in life in general? Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah, actually, you know, I'm really excited because the last sort of 7 or 8 months here, I've moved a little bit more away from the entrepreneurial and business development coaching that I was doing and moved more into back to the personal and more spiritual development. So with coming up in April, I'm doing the Conscious Divas Date Night. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but
I love Kate.
Yes. Okay. So you know Kate as well. And yeah, so Kate Mucher and her amazing tribe of beautiful women that she's built, and they host an event in West Vancouver and then an event in Vancouver. And so I'll be there this coming next month, and I'm really excited about that, because it's the same, but it's even closer in alignment with my authentic way. So that's cool. I'm excited for that.
What's the date of that?
Yeah, you know what? I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that. I'm just joking. It's all good. I don't have it in front of me, but what I can tell you is it will be on my website at heatherwhite.ca, and it will, both dates will be there, in times and registration. So I'll make sure that all that information is there.
That sounds perfect. And I'll try and tweet it as well. Or if you tweet it, I'll try and retweet.
Cool. Thank you.
Or if Kate tweets, we'll tweet it as well.
Perfect. The Twitterverse.
Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What did we do before Twitter?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Things were different, weren't they?
They were very different. It's definitely evolved our whole world.
Yeah, it certainly has. It's very cool. It's very, very cool.
Very much so. And I guess we're wrapping up the show at this time. It's you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. Marion is not coming in tonight for Hans von Claus's Misery Hour, and he is a very sexy man to be miserable with, which he normally would guide you into the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice, and I'd be drooling over his shoes, but he is not here tonight. And at midnight, there will be 24 hours of International Women's Day programming, so I'm pretty excited about that. And until then, have a happy, wonderful, wonderful night, and at the moon out there, and happy International Women's Day, everybody. 1 hour early. Have a great night.